What's cracking, big dogs? Welcome, Bike, to the headquarters. Welcome, Bike, to the channel. Welcome, Bike, to BDGE. Big Dogs Gotta Eat Fantasy Football. My name is Nicholas. It's Thursday. Thus is this week's season-long video. This will be relevant for season-long. This will be relevant for Dynasty. This will be relevant for football fans far and wide. We're talking about free agency. I know the season is not even done yet. We've got playoff games. We've got Super Bowl. We've got the Pro Bowl, even though I think the Pro Bowl might be canceled. I don't even know. I don't even give a shit. It's basically been canceled in my mind every year that I've watched football. But over the last few years, free agency has been a lot of fun, especially when it comes to fantasy football. New faces, new places, old faces, new places. What's the stupid ass fucking phrase that people use? I don't know. But today we're going to be talking about specifically the quarterbacks and tight ends. This is deep on every position. Quarterbacks, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs. So I needed to split it up because we've even got dudes that are relevant at the quarterback and tight end position where most of the time nobody gives a shit. But we've got so many dudes at running back and wide receiver that we're going to have to split this up. We're going to have to do two separate videos for it. So today matters. We're playing more and more super flex. We're playing more and more tight end premium leagues. We're just playing a whole lot of fucking fantasy football, okay? So this episode matters. It matters for your favorite NFL team. It matters for your favorite fantasy football team. We're going to do quarterbacks. We're going to do tight ends. And then next week, we're going to do running backs and wide receivers. So tuck your shirts in, stop yelling, and let's eat. Free agency is funny. Fantasy football is more funny. More funny in like a clown way because according to Twitter, 27 teams need a new NFL quarterback. It'll be 28. As soon as Lamar Jackson throws his first interception in the next playoff game, there'll be 28 teams that need a new starting quarterback. That's not how the fucking way this works. Not every team has a top quarterback, a top fantasy quarterback, a top 15 option waiting in the wings. Thus, all of these free agent options are important and could make or break your super flex lineup, your dynasty lineup especially, okay? So we're going to dive in. We're going to throw up the quarterback free agents on the list, and we're going to go through them one by one, look at their outlook, what the season was like for them last year, how we're going to look at them going forward, and what impact they might have moving to a new team. The first thing I want to address is not Dak related, but we will stay within the NFC East. That is Carson Wentz, okay? I don't know if you guys know this guy, Andrew Brandt. Now, Andrew Brandt was an executive for the Green Bay Packers. He was the vice president of the Green Bay Packers for a long time, well-respected, well-known guy. He was there for the Favre years. He was there for the Aaron Rodgers years. So he's seen some shit when it comes to the quarterback position. He also has a very good podcast that I listen to called The Business of Sports by Andrew Brandt. He is now in the Gary Vaynerchuk sports agency business. He works for Vayner Sports. Very intelligent guy. You should listen to what he says. But from my understanding of everything that he knows about the cap space and how the NFL works and all the behind the scenes of the front office executives, which is what he talks about in his podcast, given Wentz's contract, there is close to a 0% chance that Carson Wentz is not in Philadelphia next year. We as fantasy people like to make things up and say, oh, Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback for Indianapolis or San Francisco or XYZ. It ain't happening. Now, Carson Wentz has a cap hit of $34 million next year to Philly. They can't just drop him and get rid of him because it's one, it's just dumb. It's unrealistic. It's not what's going to happen here. That would cost the team $60 million. But what that $34 million cap hit does is not only accounts for if they keep him on the team. If they trade Carson Wentz to another team, they still have to pay $34 million in dead cap. There is no upside of moving him. This is a quote from an article that Andrew Brandt wrote just 3 weeks ago, which I will link in the description for you guys if you want to read it. It's very in-depth, and it goes over everything about Carson Wentz and the situation in terms of trading, cutting, post-June 1st trades and cuts and shit, and like everything that's realistic about what could happen, okay? All the details of that. This is the first quote of the article. Of the 1,800-plus players in the NFL, there is no player into which a team has made more of an organizational investment than the Eagles have in Carson Wentz. There are NFL players for whom teams have invested multiple top draft picks. There are NFL players for whom teams have invested contracts totaling north of $100 million. There are NFL players for whom teams have allowed other players to leave to clear the path for that player to succeed. But there is only one team and one player for whom all of these organizational inputs were made. The Eagles and Wentz. What that Doug Peterson split told me was that they know that they cannot move Carson Wentz. They haven't invested so much into this dude that everybody else is a secondary piece, no matter how poorly he played last year. What that Peterson split tells you is that their only hope right now is to fix Carson Wentz. Okay, so I want to start off with that. This is the free agency input. This is not talking about, I mean, obviously we could do an updated version if some guys get cut, some notable guys like a Jimmy G, who we'll talk about a little bit later on in this video, but we're not going to go over all the guys that could possibly be cut and just start making up fucking scenarios. Otherwise, this would be a 2-hour long featured film, which, you know, maybe some of you guys would like, but that's not what I'm about right now. I just got back from the gym, so I do need to shower after this, and I actually need to use the bathroom. I'm going to take y'all with me, but not on some freaky shit. We're going into vlog mode. It's cracking. So here's what we're doing in the bathroom. We're not taking a shit, so don't worry. I know a lot of my audience is younger dudes, and a lot of y'all do not take care of your face, which is very important if you want to stay young forever like I do. Now, I don't sleep well, or ever, and a lot of y'all probably are hard workers too, so sometimes you look like shit. That is why it is important to take care of your face. Now, I feel like you're not really a YouTuber until you talk about your skincare routine, or until some company comes out and like sponsors you and is like, hey, plug our skincare shit. So like, this kind of makes me feel official. What's crazy is this company, Geology, I've been using for like a year and a half, and I am completely new to skincare, but they reached out to me and they're like, we want to work with you. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we've been working together. You're just not paying me for it. But this is a message for all the dudes that do not take care of their face, especially you young dudes who think you're gonna be pretty forever. I've got news for you. You're not. You're gonna get old quickly unless you take care of yourself. The same way you take care of your body, you need to take care of your skin. Otherwise, you're gonna get the bags under your eyes. You're gonna start getting wrinkles and shit. You're gonna look terrible. We're not in the business, although I look terrible, we're not in the business of looking terrible. And you might be like, I don't even know where the fuck to start. That's why Geology is beautiful. They were the first skincare thing I ever used because I had no idea what I was doing. They literally make you take a quiz on their website. You put in a couple things like, what is my skin type and color and whatever, and they shoot out a perfect sample size grab bag for the first month of what you want to use. It's literally like one product in the morning, or two products in the morning, two products at night, and you're done. And you're going to be looking good, and that's it. It takes like 2 minutes. I'm going to do it right now for you, live time. Okay, first product, everyday face wash. It's literally just washing your face. You've got oils, you've got shit all over your face. Water. Pump. Lather. Wash. Do this for 30, 45 seconds. Get up all in your forehead, get up in your nasty nose oils, in your eyes and shit. You wanna get the oils from underneath your eyes. That's why wrinkles happen. That's why these bags happen. That's why you start getting blemishes all over your face, because you got oils building up in there. So get all the oiliest part of your faces, get up on your neck, and stick your face right up under that wash again. Get a towel, rinse it down. Honestly, if you did just that, if you wash your face like one time per day, you'd be ahead of 95% of males in America. Your face will feel fucking amazing, first of all. It's 2021, and dudes are still weirded out by like taking care of themselves and washing their face. I'm telling you, it is not cool to take care of yourself. So you're gonna pat your face down dry, and this is where, you know, the M word. I know a lot of people don't like to use the M word, but we're gonna do it. It's called moisturizer. Now, your face is nice and perfect. There is no blemishes. It's no oil anymore. And what you want to do, especially during the winter, if you're going outside, your skin is getting like ashy and rashy and red and shit. That also makes all that shit pop up on your face. That also causes wrinkles. That also causes the underbags to your eyes, which is where Vital Morning Face Cream comes in. So it's one thing. You wash your face day and night. You do it when you wake up. You do it before you go to sleep. And you do the same thing with moisturizer. As soon as you wash your face, you put it on. Go live your life. Before you go to bed, you wash your face. Put moisturizer on. When you wake up in the morning, your face will look and feel more energized. I'm telling you, young people, start now. Do not wait. If my eyes look bloodshot red, it's literally because I don't sleep. So the fact that my skin even looks okay right now is a testament to what they're doing over at Geology, because this is the only skincare product I've literally ever used. Morning face cream. Do a little pumpy pump. All right, 1 eye or 2 eyes. Sorry, I can't do that in the camera. I can't see you. Get on the forehead. There you go. We're feeling good. We're energized. And we are ready to talk about quarterbacks. So we're bike, geology has me looking creamy, has me looking not like a ghost anymore. Well, I'm just pale, so I do look like a ghost, but they've got my skin feeling fantastic. And because they're sponsoring the video, they hooked me up with being able to hook y'all up. If you go over to geology.com, I'll have it linked right below in the description. I'll have it linked first thing in the comments section. Use the promo code BIGDOG30. They have a beautiful sample pack for you, okay? I'm telling you, you take one quiz, you put your information in, you take one quiz, and they tell you exactly what your face needs to be using. It's a 30-day trial of everything you need. You're going to use promo code BIGDOG30. When you check out, you're getting 30% off the rip, okay? I promise you, you want to be investing in yourself, especially when you're young. And even if you're old, it's never too late to start taking care of your skin. Your wife will be like, who the fuck is that? I married an ugly dude. I didn't pay for this. I want to return you, but your skin is so beautiful, I want to kiss you. That's the kind of effect it's going to have on you, all right? Back to the quarterbacks. Let's talk about Dak, because Dak is interesting coming off this injury, and Dallas didn't want to pay him long-term last year, so they franchised him, and I'm still, like, not sure what they're even getting at right now. Like, they didn't give him a contract last year. Well, he got injured, and he's not old, and they're going to end up paying him again. They're probably going to end up franchise tagging him if they don't give him a long-term contract. There is never a more relevant situation to use the phrase time is money when it comes to quarterback salaries in the NFL. Every year that you wait on not paying a quarterback, the inflation goes up. Quarterbacks are getting paid more and more each year. They want to franchise him 2 years in a row, they're going to pay him a shitload of money just off that franchise tag, and by the time they do want to sign him to a long-term deal, it's going to be out of control. Maybe they want to franchise him and make him prove that he's bite the full strength next year and then give him the long-term path. If you're a Dallas fan, what do you want right now? You want to give Dak that fatty and you want to do it ASAP. All in all, I'd be shocked if Dak is not the quarterback under center for the Cowboys this upcoming year and for the next 5 years. Let's move on to Trubisky, who I would be shocked if he was the Chicago Bears quarterback. They did not pick up his fifth-year player option. They'd have to sign him to a new deal if they wanted to continue going down the Mitch Trubisky rabbit hole. But we've got 4 years of Trubisky. We know what he is, and I would be fucking livid as a Bears fan if they let this parade go on for any longer. Just like Mariota, you know, number two pick, he's going to get another chance somewhere, not in Chicago. You're holding on to Trubisky if you are in a Dynasty Superflex league to see where he lands. He's got the rushing upside, so anytime he gets an opportunity, it's good for fantasy. He just stinks in real life. Phillip Rivers, he signed that 1 year, $25 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts. They got bounced in the first round of the playoff. I can't say we're surprised here. Rivers has not decided whether or not he's coming back for the 2021 season. Rivers is a means to an end quarterback. He is not the path to an end type of quarterback at this point. And while I don't think he was a liability to the Colts this year in 2020, he wasn't going to be the one that, like, put them over the top and got them to the Super Bowl. It's kind of interesting because Jacoby Brissett is also a quarterback on Colts, also going to be free agent. So, like, what do they do at the quarterback position here? They gave Brissett a go at the starting quarterback position, you know, last year, a couple of years ago, whatever it was. And clearly, they were not sold on that. They would have let him run with the job if that was the case this year. But Brissett is not the future of this franchise. He'll probably end up elsewhere. Now, Rivers should, like, probably hang it up, okay? But we'll have to wait on whether or not he ends up retiring. I don't see him playing elsewhere just because this was, like, the perfect situation for a guy like Phillip Rivers, whose arm is kind of, like, weary. He's old as shit. He can't move around the pocket. So you're putting him behind a really good offensive line with an up-and-coming defense and a really strong run game with good weapons around. Like, it doesn't really get much better objectively than this situation in terms of, like, where you can actually get realistic landing spots. So the Colts are not in rebuild mode whatsoever if you look at their roster. So drafting a rookie doesn't make sense. Giving the keys to Jacob Eason doesn't make any sense. They're a team that could look to resign Rivers. And, you know, run a bike and maybe hit the free agent market. I don't know, but you hold Rivers for now in Dynasty Leagues. If he does come back, he's going to end up being QB2, like mid to low QB2, pretty much what he was this year, which is not someone that you wanted in your lineup, unlike Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was a starter beast. Some team's about to get the GOAT backup in Fitzy. I mean, fuck, let Fitzy go to Indy and run up that ring. I bet he could do it on that offense. He's not going to be signed with Miami again. They're done with the Ryan Fitzpatrick show. They're going to let Tua do his thing. I think best case scenario is he'll do what he's always done. He'll sign somewhere as a backup. He'll compete and push whoever is the starting quarterback there, and he'll get into the game a few times throughout the year and whatever. Okay, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Dalton, same thing as Ryan Fitzpatrick minus the initial enthusiastic statement I said about Fitzpatrick about running back the ring, whatever. Could see Dalton signing somewhere that doesn't have, like, a solidified QB. He's not young, but he's kind of fucking old. But I could see him going somewhere that's not, like, a solidified quarterback, somewhere maybe like Carolina, maybe, and, like, competing with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater to kind of push him, do a little camp battle action here. Dalton, Fitzpatrick, nothing to get excited about. But Cam Newton, this is where things, I think, get very interesting. And I know a lot of people think he's done. He's run his course. He's no longer an NFL caliber quarterback. He can't throw the ball. He can't lead a team. And he most definitely is done in New England. Even though you have reports from Mike Reese, you have reports from Jeff Howe, two very good reporters that cover the Patriots, and they say that he probably has a 20% chance to re-sign with New England. They'll definitely look for other options. The only way I'd imagine they re-sign him is if they really, really can't find another option. I don't think they think Jarrett Stidham is the option there. So maybe they settle, but I would be shocked if Cam is not somewhere competing for a starting job in 2021 outside of New England? I mean, I know his numbers were miserable. His passing numbers were atrocious, like really, really fucking embarrassing. But what did he have to work with? Literally nobody. His like top option, Julian Edelman, got hurt right off the rip. And it's not like Julian Edelman's going to elevate a fucking quarterback. Anyways, he didn't have a tight end to throw the ball to. His running backs were terrible. He didn't have any wide receivers to throw the ball to. Okay, so I don't know what Cam Newton would have been this year if he had weapons. But the most popular narrative we'll probably hear when it comes to Cam Newton is signing with Washington, reuniting with Ron Rivera. We know that Washington doesn't really have a stable quarterback situation. Got to see what they do with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is actually on sort of a pretty big contract with Washington. $24.4 million cap hit in 2021 would be a $10 million cap hit if they decided to release him, which doesn't, I guess, really make sense. They would save $14 million, I guess, and that would make it make sense. The dollars make sense, et cetera, et cetera. We're about to fucking drop a freestyle right now. I don't know if I'll end up with Washington, but I'll make a bold take right here. I think that Cam Newton will be a starting quarterback week one somewhere in 2021. That's my bold take, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with Baltimore, right? RG3 is a free agent. Maybe he could back up Lamar, similar play style, that kind of thing. Maybe behind Burrow or Dak, you know? Maybe if they miss the opening of the season with their serious injuries, he can fill in for a couple games, something like that. You just never know. You just never know. We also don't know what Jameis Winston, man. Jameis to New England, who says no? Besides every fantasy player and Bill Belichick 1,000 times over. This is probably going to be the most fun player to follow quarterback-wise throughout the offseason. Breeze is basically a lock to retire, and we don't know if the Saints trust Taysom Hill at this point. Yeah, they let him start with Breeze out for a little bit, but like it was weird. It felt weird. We don't know what their trust level legitimately is in Taysom Hill. Here's what I'll say, and here's what I tweeted this out a little bit earlier yesterday. The New Orleans Saints are in financial hell from a cap standpoint. They are number 32 in terms of cap space. They're like a negative $99 million in the cap. I don't even think that's hyperbole. I think that's literally the number that they're at when it comes to cap. Drew Brees obviously takes a huge cap hit, but he's probably going to retire. Jameis Winston he's not on quarterback money. Jameis Winston's basically on kicker money right now. He's on like veteran minimum money. Literally signed a 1 year, $1.1 million deal right now. Taysom Hill is on that 2 year, like $16 million deal. That would be the cap hit to him. So I can't wait. Everybody on Twitter just shit on Taysom Hill. They shit on the signing that the Saints made with Taysom Hill. I can't wait for them to have Breeze retire, for Jameis Winston to walk, because they're not going to be able to afford Jameis Winston at starting quarterback money because of their cap. Taysom Hill is going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints next year, and Taysom Hill is going to lead them to the playoffs. And they're going to have a starting quarterback leading them to the playoffs on a $16 million cap hit. And then everybody on Twitter, as usual, are going to look like fucking clowns, and it will confirm to me that fantasy Twitter is without a doubt the dumbest crevice of the internet. But Winston, very much like Trubisky, right? He's a guy who went very high in the draft, the number one overall pick, former. He's only 27 years old. We've seen quarterbacks play until they're like 57 years old at this point. He has 3 4,000-yard passing seasons on his resume. He's got the 5,000-yard passing season on his resume. Of course, that comes with like 30-plus interceptions. And we also have like half the coaches in the league are quarterback whisperers. That's, you know, a phrase that you hear about 8,000 times throughout the offseason, which is 8,000 more times than I ever want to hear that phrase in my life, because it's wildly annoying. There's someone that thinks they're going to be able to fix Jameis Winston. Someone is going to take a shot on Jameis Winston. It could be Chicago. It could be Washington. Could take over a backup role. He could even go to like a team like fucking Atlanta. That's some dumb shit we would do. We would not take a quarterback at number four. We would take like Devonta Smith, sign Jameis Winston, so when Matt Ryan is not with us in 2022, we think Jameis Winston is the answer. Really is some dumb shit that Atlanta would do. I would say Winston being like in New Orleans would be, I don't even think it's going to be 50-50 at this point. I think it's 40% that he's back, 60% that he gone. So Jameis Winston next up. Nick Mullins is like semi-interesting, I guess, but also not really. He's gotten a ton of playtime during his years in San Francisco. So the more film that you have on a guy, the more likely it is someone in the NFL thinks that this guy can kind of be a player, or someone likes you, so someone will take a shot on you. Now, he has 17 starts to his name, 25 to 21 touchdown interception ratio, but more impressive, 273 passing yards per game. That is a really, 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 really high number. And I haven't done the math, but if you go 273 times 16, a normal season, that's 4,368 passing yards. A lot more than a lot of guys put up in this damn league. So Mullins, you know, we've seen him have some big games. He's gone over 400 passing yards in a handful of games in San Francisco offense. But we've also seen the downside of Nick Mullins, right? And we've also seen some really poor games from him. And he's another guy, sort of like maybe Dalton, that will sign somewhere as a backup or to compete compete with someone whose starter's not strong. Like maybe he'll go to Carolina and compete with Teddy Bridgewater or something like that. Just kind of naming teams off the top of my head. I don't really know what the cap situation is for a team like Carolina. But it's interesting because Jimmy G, while he's not a free agent, he obviously took like $1 zillion off the cap for the last, you know, year or whatever with the contract that he had. But they set it up so that it was so front heavy that this year, if they were to get rid of Jimmy G, it would not hit anything under, it'd be like $2 million to dead cap, whereas last year if they got rid of Jimmy G, it'd be like $37 million. So maybe they pull some wild shit and they let Jimmy walk and they sign Nick Mullins to like an $18 million deal. It ain't happening. But that's the thing with like the Twitter I'm talking about, like Jimmy G. Jimmy G is a guy who has taken his team to the Super Bowl. Is he a great quarterback? Definitely not. Does he make a ton of terrible plays? Sure. Is he better than Nick Mullins? Yes. Is he worth the money that they paid him last year? No. But do they have someone waiting in the wings that's better than Jimmy G? No. Like, that's the problem with everybody complaining about every quarterback in the league. They don't fucking grow on trees. There's like 5 of them that are elite. There's like 15 of them that are good. And there's 24 of them that are actual NFL quarterbacks. And Jimmy G falls into that. So I'm expecting Jimmy G to be the quarterback next year in San Francisco. I would hold on to Mullins, see what happens, where he ends up landing. Let's shift things over to the tight end position. This is kind of exciting. We've got some really notable names on the tight end spectrum, which we usually typically don't have in the
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Offseason, when it comes to the free agent market, we've got Jonas Smith, we've got Hunter Henry, we've got Rob Gronkowski, we've got Robert Tunyon, who's going to receive a ton of money this offseason, and Gerald Everett. This is a notably strong draft class for the tight end position as well in terms of like rookies and prospects. So some suitors for tight ends might be looking at youth more so than to sign these free agents. Jacksonville makes a ton of sense for a landing spot, as does New England. So New England needs a tight end. Jacksonville has a ton of cap. They are, you know, you talk about the Saints having zero cap. The Jaguars are like the anti-New Orleans Saints. And they're going to be looking to build around Trevor Lawrence and put as many weapons and passing game pieces in that offense around him as humanely possible. I also feel like nobody wastes contracts on tight ends in free agency quite like the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's sort of like fucking me with Uber Eats fees. It's pretty fucking embarrassing. I also wouldn't be shocked to see the Cardinals get into the free agent game when it comes to tight ends. So let's look at the tight ends. We've got Jonu Smith. I mean, I hope Tennessee retains him. I hope Tennessee retains Corey Davis too and run a bike with that offense. I'd love to see them go do their thing again with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry at full force for another year. But they probably need to put some money into that defense if we're looking at anywhere for them to upgrade or put their money into, right? Jonu looked like he was going to have a breakout year this year. Everything was lined up. He's young. He's athletic. He's explosive. He's got the role completely to himself. He ends up as like the tight end 10, which is fucking terrible in today's day and age. If you're not like a top 3 tight end, you really don't matter in fantasy whatsoever. He battled injuries for most of the year, but technically I guess set career highs. It was his fourth season, 65 targets, 41 catches, 448 yards, 8 touchdowns. Really inconsistent as a fantasy guy all year. If you had him, it was like impossible to figure out when you should be throwing him into your lineup outside of the very beginning of the season. But he's just 25 years old, still super young for the tight end position, super athletic. And I think of all of the free agents in this class right now, the Pats, this guy is like the one I think the Pats would probably most likely go after if they do attack the tight end position in free agency, because he's wildly versatile, okay? And you get to invest into him in his prime for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. You have him in that 26 to 30 age range, which is beautiful for these tight ends. And again, Jonu Smith is a versatile guy, and those are the types of players that the Patriots like to put onto their roster, right? Be able to move around, be able to move the offense fluidly through all these different types of players. And Jonu is a guy who can catch the ball. He's a guy who can run with the ball in his hands after the catch. He's a guy who can run the fucking ball to begin with. He's a guy who can block, so he can do everything. I think he kind of fits what the Pats like to do offensively. The other big ticket name here is Hunter Henry. Now, the Chargers have the 11th most cap space in the league right now, so it's possible that they do resign him. I would actually love to see Henry back in this offense and get to see them run it bike as well with Herbert, you know, getting a full year under quarterback and them having a new head coach there. So maybe they run like a normal offense, and Hunter Henry, I think, could have a year that most people have wanted him to have over the last few years, and he hasn't quite had that. He's still yet to play a full 16 games. His 14 games this year were actually a career high. So he's been in the league for 4 years. 14 games were the highest number he's put up. So that was career high, as were the 92 targets, the 60 receptions, but it wasn't a great year for him overall. He went over 67 receiving yards twice on the entire year, and that was in weeks one with Tyrod Taylor and weeks two. Everything after that was kind of downhill. He caught some touchdowns, but like, wasn't a great year overall. I'm much less excited about... if I'm a Hunter Henry owner in Dynasty, I'm a little bit nervous about that, because he's sort of in that Zach Ertz, Austin Hooper mold, where he's like a catch the ball and fall down guy, strong hands, but like, if he's not in the right offense that wants to utilize him and really throw him the ball a lot and get a high number of red zone targets and end zone targets and just overall targets in between the 20s, like, he's not going to be a very good fantasy tight end for you. So I hope he re-signs with LA. If he doesn't, I think his value takes a pretty big hit. We have Gronk. He's either re-signing with Tampa Bay and Brady and running that shit bike, or he's retiring. I would be shocked if he signed with a new team just to play for the fuck of playing it. Now, Robert Tonyan, what a year. 11 touchdowns. He ties Kelsey for the league lead among tight ends. However, and why I doubt the Packers re-sign him are the rest of his numbers. So he caught 11 touchdowns, but he had 59 targets, which was 24th among tight ends. He had 52 catches, 586 receiving yards. Both those numbers were 13th among tight ends. Now, the touchdowns, great to see. Aaron Rodgers threw 48 of them. The touchdowns are more of a right place, right time thing. They're not dependable, right? When you sign with a new team, they're not like, oh, this guy's a great touchdown catcher. You're either a playmaker or you're not really a playmaker. And those other stats, they don't say Tonyan's not a playmaker, but they do say he's more of the league average, maybe a little bit of an above average player than an elite type of tight end player. And he's turning 27. He'll be 27 next year. So this is the time for him to cash in on that big year. Like, you couldn't have had a more perfect timed 11 touchdown season for a tight end than right now, because he's on his contract year, and someone is going to pay up for him. This is like, I've never seen a more Jacksonville Jaguar sign right now. Like, this is, I would not be shocked whatsoever if Robert Tonyan gets a huge contract from the Jacksonville Jaguars and they end up overpaying him. Very Jaguar-esque. Good player, great year. And I don't want to downplay anything, right? Because he's not going to be a dud. I think Tonyan's actually probably here to stay as like a low-end tight end one, maybe a high-end tight end two. He's actually a wildly athletic player, which I don't think most people knew when he started his breakout this year. So the ceiling can absolutely be there, but I think whoever signs him is likely paying for the ceiling that we just saw from Robert Tonyan in Green Bay. Obviously, if you own him, you're kind of holding on to him. I highly doubt he re-signs with Green Bay. They obviously have Aaron Jones on the docket, and they have to bring some kind of wide receiver in there. I would be pretty surprised. They've got Gerald Everett, another super athletic player to keep an eye on, but he's not like that young anymore, because we've been saying Gerald Everett's young and he's explosive and he's a good playmaker. He's gonna be 27 next year. He's like 26.7 or whatever the decimal was they had in player profiler. So it would have been nice to see a breakout at some point, a little bit of a breakout at some point to this point of his career. But we've seen a lot of late breakouts, especially with guys that look like Gerald Everett and his athletic profile. So doubtful that he's like a tight end one next year or anything, but I'm certainly like intrigued to see where he lands, right? Arizona would be a spot to keep an eye on, because they just like athletic players that can make plays with the ball in their hands. And I think Everett's that kind of guy. I wouldn't hate him coming to Atlanta either. I would like Atlanta to bring Gerald Everett on, right? And have someone to kind of counteract Hayden Hurst's fucking unathletic ass. Now, I like Hayden Hurst, actually. I think he might have a big year. That's everybody. That's everybody notable, okay? And all of this stuff is per Spotrac.com, Spotrac. They have all the contracts that stands for sports contracts. So they just fucking cut both words in half and smack them together like a sandwich. You'll be able to see any free agents. These are just the notable free agents. These are obviously not all of them. There are a zillion free agents going on this year, but these are the ones I think are most noticeable to just NFL fans, to fantasy football players, especially those of you in like dynasty leagues that are starting to look at this stuff and knowing, you know, do I move this guy for a rookie pick, XYZ. I've seen Tonyan move a couple times already in some of my leagues for things like a second round draft pick and whatnot. So hope this is valuable. I hope this is helpful. If it was and you want to support the brand, make sure you go check it. I mean, not even supporting the brand, support yourself. Support your health, support your skin, okay? Look better, look brighter, look more energized. I promise you, it is cool to take care of yourselves. It is 2021. Gentlemen, please, refresh your skin. I'm tired of looking at your old ugly asses. Geology.com, link down below. Promo code BIGDOG30 will get you 30% off their month package that has everything you need to take care of yourself for the next 30 days. I promise you're going to be looking beautiful by the 30 days, and then you'll want to re-up on that. Love y'all. Hit the thumbs up button if you enjoyed. We'll see you on Fade the Public tomorrow for the Fantasy Award show that took us about 12 hours to film. Bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.